Me too.
Sounds pretty good.
Mike says he'll need to see it. I agree, I concur, I'll need to see it. So the Greek number is 1342 again. And so we see what just thy cause 1342 means upright. It means a, you know, sort of a feeling or will to act, to do God's will. So it's a real sentiment. It's not just a I wish, it's a real desire to do God's will. And in that, you're then just. In fact, the first time it occurs is in Matthew 1:19. Let's go there. Matthew 1:19. Matthew 1:19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a dikaios, man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Dikaios. It's that sentiment. The just. See, so, by the way, Mike.
G 1342. Dikaios.
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 Okay, I'm prepared. You got it? Dikaios. Just.
There
you go. So, interestingly, dikaios, Greek 1342, occurs four times in the prison epistles. In fact, it occurs in Ephesians 6:1. But before we go to 6:1, we have to recognize that there's also a correspondence between Colossians 3:22 and 4:1. So that whole section that I just finished describing to you relating to masters and employee, we see the equivalent or correspondence in Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 9. So now we go to chapter 6 in Ephesians. And chapter 6, we see again that the correspondence section to this Colossians 3:22 to 4:1 is verses 5 through 9. So we see 5 through 9, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, and we learned this from one of the teachers, not as a but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Sounds like the chaos. So we see as we proceed through these verses, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then verse 9, ye masters, do the same things unto them. Who's them? Employee, the servants. Forbearing, threatening. Forbearing, threatening. Yeah, threatening. Threatening is that appeal. A-P-E-I-L-E, Greek 5:4-7. It's a threat. It's a strict, narrow, difficult path that an employer would lay for his employee that's not necessary. and God would not have it. Forbearing, loosening, like, loosen up, guy. You never heard that term? Lighten up. That's what God is trying to tell the masters. Don't be so overbearing. Knowing, I know from experience, because you know this, that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there any respect of persons with him. So that word, that kaios, takes us back to verse 1 with children. This is again one of the times that it occurs in the prison epistles, where it says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, just. It also occurs in Philippians 1, verse 7. Let's go there. Philippians 1, verse 7. Looking at that just of Achaios. Verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. Anybody can tell me which word that is substituted for in the English there? Dikaios? Do I have it wrong?
What?
What word, English word, in verse 7 of Philippians is dikaios?
Meet.
Meet, right? Even as it is dikaios for me to think this. Dikaios, just. Right? Everybody got that? So that's the second occurrence, and in chapter 4 of Philippians comes the third occurrence, chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are dikaios. And it goes on, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Why? Because if you don't think on these things, then you're not thinking good things. You can't possibly. So it tells us, think on these things. And one of those, whatever is, what? The kaios, just. And of course, then we got Colossians 4:1. That's where the masters are instructed. Masters give unto your just and equal. Equal is isaltes, Greek number 2471, occurs two times. So here the employers and masters are being instructed on how to treat their employees. So it's not just that they are to treat them upright and thinking and feeling and acting to the will of God, but also equal. So what does that have to do with just and equal? Well, equal again occurs two times, Asaltes 2471. And if we go into the other occurrence, it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians something. Bear with me. I'm looking for it. Don't get so anxious. Anybody found it?
8:14.
Thank you. I don't even have to look at it. It's nice to have help. I'm going strictly by my Bible. Don't have any notes but my Bible. But if you look at my Bible, try to make sense of that one. Get it? And that's okay. 2 Corinthians what? 8:14. So 8:14 says, but an equality, isotes, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So here we have some level of balance. By the way, the Christian Standard Bible, I think, has a nice translation, CSB, on it. It says, at this present time, your plenty or abundance will supply their need, what they need, so that in turn, their plenty or abundance may in turn meet your need in order that there may be equality. So we at least see how God uses that word in relation to how the masters or employers are to do what with their employees. Well, what are they supposed to do here, masters? The word is give. And we stay on the subject. It says the two words here, masters, give. What are they giving? Some form, I suppose, of compensation. Correct? I have to believe. Whether it was supporting them, whatever it was, but it was supposed to be equal to and just. And so, if it's compensation and more, the point is that these masters and employers were to, yes, give according to how God would have them, that which is just and equal. Knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So here's the thought that occurs to my mind. Knowing that you yourself have a master in heaven, could that also relate to in the same fashion and manner that the employee or servant in verse 24 of chapter 3, the prior 24 of chapter 3, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward, and as a pure axiom, could be the same without having to mention it of the master, because it says, knowing that ye also have a master. What's the point of mentioning that you yourself also have a master? What does that say? Or suggest? Food for thought. Right? Something worth thinking about. Right, so it's plausible that it could be related to similarly some thing that they should expect to also receive in the form, perhaps, of an inheritance. Doesn't say it, but why put that in there? Maybe it was not relevant. And it is. Because it says so. Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Praise God. Point being, they're on equal footing. Equal responsibility. You know, and there was a sense, and this was discussed, it was interesting because it was discussed by, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was more than one teacher. But it's truth. And we know that truth is being spoken this weekend. When we begin to understand that no one is above anyone else in the body. Not the wife and not the employer. Not the husband over the wife and not the employer over the servant. We are all equal footing, aren't we? Why should it be any different with the relationship with the master? And when I say master, you know, some individuals may have a unique responsibility. It may not necessarily be the owner of a company. It could be a supervisor. It's the relationship in the workforce that is being referred to here, right? So let's be clear about that. Anyone that answers to you, you, in the same way, answer to God. Verse 2. Now we get into the meat. But I have a lot of time, don't I, Mike?
All the time you want, I have a lot of time.
Continue in prayer. Now this is the section that really is the last section. Okay? That relates to the truth that's being expounded. You know, we heard about crescendos, mountains. No one said anything about drum roll. Sorry, but you know, it's all the same, isn't it? And so, the point being here is that here we get into the continuing prayer and watch. That's interesting. Because it supposes that we're all to have to play a part in the need for prayer as a body. And so you may have heard that, of course. Nothing that we don't know, but the important thing is that we see it repeated over and over. And the importance is that we observe, acknowledge how it was done then, so that we can, yes, presumably and hopefully, prayfully emulate what they did then and how they did it. So that prayer, if you look at, for example, where even the Apostle Paul started with, in chapter 1, verse 3, I'm going to get comfortable if you guys don't mind. Verse 3, we give thanks to God. And Paul usually started that way. It's an important aspect and characteristic of a believer's approach that, yes, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord, praying always for you. We need to recognize the importance of prayer, and we may have heard it, but to understand the power in it and the responsibility that we have to it. We do have a responsibility to this, to prayer. So, it's no surprise that in chapter 4, they're being instructed to continue in prayer and something else. So we see here correspondence in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, because remember, Colossians does correspond in more ways than one to Ephesians. There is a correspondence that we need to be mindful of. And it says in chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, and we see here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and look at the word again, watching thereunto with all what? Perseverance and supplication for some saints. All saints. That's important. You heard described how many believers are tested, afflicted, and we do not know even what may befall any one of the teachers going forward. It is so important to keep all saints in prayer. It is pivotal. We don't have an inkling of an idea, as Mike said, the spiritual forces at play.
are so deep, are so real, that we have got to get to it and get serious about this. And that formula of watch, of watching, is nothing new. Watch is Greek word 1127, gregoreo, gregoreo. It's to give strict attention to be cautious. The first occurrence is in Matthew 24:42. Let's go there, Matthew 24:42. Matthew 24:42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. What does it say? Gregorgoreo, therefore. In this case, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Referring to, of course, their anticipated hope of parousia of our Lord. But they were to, in the same way that this word is used then, they were to be watchful, and it's in the same manner that we're to pray and watch. And let's see this used elsewhere. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. I memorize all these verses, guys. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. So here, something interesting happened. Remember our Lord when he was going to pray because of his agony in the garden that he was anticipating? He didn't want to do it. And he instructed them, the disciples. To watch, right? So in Mark 38, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Isn't it always weak? It's not just that they fall asleep, those bums. But our flesh is so weak that sometimes we put that prayer and we put it aside. And we say, I've got to get into something else and study maybe the Word. And we forget the need for prayer in the same way that they neglected because of the weakness of their flesh. That's why. It's not because we're mean-spirited. It's because the weakness of the flesh. Let's keep that in perspective. Meaning, the flesh is that weak. You've got to keep that in perspective. Is where the flesh is at. We can't rely on it. And we shouldn't. But this instructs them like it instructs us. Because the spirit truly is ready. Always is. It's there. But the flesh goes, later. Tomorrow. No. Now. Let me give you an example. Not because my flesh is perfect. It's far from it. Just an example. So, I was blessed with Brother Rogers' teaching. Not so much how it was narrated, no. But, I was blessed. And God, yes, worked through Mike to articulate the teaching, which I thought was on point and succinct. And the thought quickly, I'm sure this happens to everyone. I wish I were here to share that with Roger, that Roger was here. It just went like, yeah. And then I started doing something else. And then it came back to me. I said, what are we doing here? He's not here, but you know, with technology today, gee whiz, I could text him. I could do anything. What's wrong? Flesh. Right? And I did. Now, I should have done that right away, and I didn't. Again, watch. And I got to the room, and I said, I meant to text him. You see what happens? I meant to. It didn't get done. And I said, well, no more. Right away, texted him. I'll share that. Now, I didn't get an immediate response. I didn't expect to. And I wasn't looking for one. So I said, I'll share it with everyone. God bless you, Roger. We missed you. But your teaching was spot on, succinct, and we all appreciated it very much, exclamation point. We have you in our prayer that he comfort you and continue to build you up in the inner man that his word may have free course, because it's about the word having free course, isn't it? In Christ, Tony. And he's responded back. I think I was asleep. Because that was at 10:18. Thought I heard something. He goes, Tony, just got your message. Thank you for your kind words and prayers. Carol and I miss seeing you and visiting with you all in Christ. My point here is that we're to watch for every saint and be careful with the flesh, because it's never up to anything, much less up to anything good. Right? So, we see it with the Lord and what he said to his disciples. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. How much time do I have?
15.
15 minutes. I'll get this done in half an hour, no problem. Chapter 18. And he spake a parable, our Lord, unto them, to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray and not to faint. Pray and not to faint. Pray. Acts 20. Again, we just want to get a flavor of how they did it. Because you think they had it any different than us? Yeah. They may have had it worse. Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch. Therefore, watch. Gregoreo, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Watch. Watch for yourself, for the attack of the devil. Watch for other saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. They were instructed to watch. Here, the believers at Colossae were being instructed to continue in prayer and watch. In the same with what? With thanksgiving. What were we doing when we sang? Were we not thanking him? Were we not praising him? We were thanking him. Regardless of the circumstances, right? Withal, funny word, never got to learn what that means in the Bronx. at the same time praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And here is everything that is encompassed, encapsulated in the gospel of Christ. This particular reference here is in correspondence to the mystery that was revealed or spoken of in Colossians chapter 1:27. So here's a correspondence in chapter 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. This mystery, there are a lot of mysteries in the word. Let's not confuse them. This one is referring to the mystery among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles, not Israel. Among the Gentiles. Which is what? Christ in you, among you, the hope of glory. So we see, and we know, that that's in direct correspondence to here, the mystery of Christ. Many have said and suggested, which is true, how can you possibly know the fellowship of the mystery and understand it if you don't even know and understand the mystery of Christ? Can't know one without knowing the other. But in religious circles, they'll conflate the two and think one is the other and one it's all one and the same. One is not. We see in Ephesians chapter 3, and many of you already know this, that in chapter 3, embedded in the revelation of the fellowship of the mystery, embedded in there, in verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It's embedded. But that's not to say, in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And you take that into context, its proper context of what was just being said before in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for who? You Gentiles. Very elementary for many of you here, but some may still catch on. For ye have heard of the oikonomia of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. And it continues, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then there's a digression, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Right? Two different mysteries. In Colossians chapter 4, going back to Colossians, then we begin to understand how it was important that Paul asked that he be prayed for and that God would open up the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Because when that gospel concerning the mystery of Christ is understood and you get to understand who God is, who Christ is, and everything there is to know about the gospel of eternal life, you begin to then understand the gospel of the truth of the mystery, of the fellowship of the mystery, of the one body. So verse 3 again, at the same time praying us for that God would open unto us the door of utterance and to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So we see that he was in bonds because of this. 4, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That means toward them that are non-Christians. Redeeming. Redeeming. Exaxogorozeo. 1805. Redeeming. That means making the most of every opportunity and time that you have. It's talking about here truth for today, as we would say. Make it, you know, we're all busy, aren't we? We've got to go work out in the gym. We've got homework for students. We got work. But we have to also take the time and make the most of it. There's another word that could be used, I suppose, for that. It's prioritize. And so we all have various level and different levels of activities. We recognize that. And there are things that we have to get done on this earth. We get it. But if God says here to you and I, redeeming, we better get to it too. Because it could happen. What could happen? When He's manifested, and then there's no more time. And then time is no more. What do you mean by that? I don't know. When time is no more, that's it. Let your speech be always with grace. That was talked about before. That's a principle as the believers walk. Seasoned with salt. Salt was the neutralizer. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's important because like Paul, like Christ, and he showed us the model on how you answer, how you respond to naysayers, to people who don't understand the mystery. We've got to be prepared and ready. And by ready, I mean is only if you are watch and prayerful and into His Word, will you then naturally be led by inspiration on what to exactly say. Sometimes you don't know what to say, do you? Right? We don't know what to say every given moment. You might not need to say anything. Who says you do? You're supposed to be led by God. Verse 7. By the way, that salt. So I'd say, hey, that's nice. I like salt. Let me add salt. But I said it's a neutralizer, and it's a saving grace of common sense. It's a saving grace, you know, of common sense. That's purposed or it materializes or manifests itself with how or what to say or when or if. Verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Let me repeat that. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. So Tychicus was supposed to let him know. This church over there, he was supposed to let them know what was Paul's state. But what about this believer who is a beloved brother? Okay. What else? He's a faithful minister. So that means there's a faithfulness that is required on our part to be a faithful minister. Right? He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. Interesting. Beloved brother, faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. That was interesting. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:12. 2 Corinthians 4:12. And Tychicus have I sent unto where? Oh, Ephesus. So here's the second mention of this individual and believer that Paul writes about. That's the other reference we have of him. As well as Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 12. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis. And so we have two other individuals here. We have him associated with Artemis. But we also have him mentioned, there might not be enough time to get into who he was and how faithful of a minister and fellow servant he was to Paul. But look at Ephesians chapter 6:21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he had a responsibility, and he could only fulfill that if he had the qualifications and characteristics of what Paul describes as a faithful minister and fellow servant. That's something to consider. Our role within the ministry, our role as we want to make known the truth of God. I certainly, when I read this, applied this to myself. Verse 8, whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Now here is another individual. Try to wrap this up with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Now, if you remember, he was employed by Philemon and he had left and he wasn't a believer up until he met with Paul during the book of Acts. Who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So we have here another believer that's being associated with this church at Colossae, who was to review to that ministry about Paul's state. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, so here we have someone who was with Paul, saluteth you, and Marcus. Now I had a little challenge with this, maybe some of you could help me out with this. Because it said here, and I shared this with Maria, she couldn't find anything. It says, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. I said, sister's son to Barnabas. Sister's son to Barnabas would make him a nephew. But most translations, with the exception maybe of one, would have him to be a cousin. That's interesting. Unless, you know, tradition would have it that they would just use cousin for nephew. I don't think so, personally, but that's me. I mean, Maria tends to think that when she names her a lot of her relatives, she refers them to aunts, even when I don't think they are, right? And so I don't know if it was a custom in the same way, you know, out of just a cultural thing, but if you look at your translations, anybody have more than one translation, you'll see cousin, 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 with the exception of one or two. That makes reference to him being a nephew. So maybe somebody can enlighten me on that one. Small little detail, right? Who cares? I do. just interesting, I thought. So, Mark says to son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if you come unto him, receive him. Well, we remember that Barnabas, there was a fallout with Paul and Barnabas. All of a sudden, there seems to be a reconciliation because he's instructing them to what? Receive him. At least that's what I'm reading. Receive him. So there was some initial fallout because of the reasons that the word tells us, right? And then there was some reconciliation of some kind. And then he goes on to mention, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. Interesting, so they were Jewish. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. Oh, there you have it, Tony. This is talking about the kingdom. As some would have me, well, wait a minute. Kingdom. That's just a word. That English word translated, right? From the Greek. The context always drives and tells us what this is. We have an earthly kingdom and we have a heavenly kingdom. What's so difficult to distinguish one from the other? Just because you see the word kingdom doesn't mean that we're now we're in the dispensation of Israel. Right? Just because the word kingdom is there, don't let that trip you, because kingdom could be a heavenly kingdom as it could mean an earthly kingdom. Right? But sometimes we make too much of certain words and we get tripped up when someone challenges us. Well, there's that word kingdom. And you're saying that we shouldn't teach. Maybe we should be more clear. Maybe we should be more clear when we speak. Maybe we should actually indicate, you know, that's an earthly kingdom as opposed to the spiritual or heavenly kingdom that is associated, even another qualifier, with the fellowship of the mystery. Right? Because that's the context of this. Epaphras, who is one of you, verse 12, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayers. So that means that prayers are associated with fervent labor. That's why the flesh doesn't want to go there, I suppose. Because it's labor. It's work. I don't want to do that. But here we are. Epaphras is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Interestingly, we know on Demas, what does he say about Demas? Elsewhere? Well, it was not favorable, was it? What's the reference? Anyone? Was it 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7? Was it 7? Which one? 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me. Oh, wait a minute. Sounded like what fallout he had with Barnabas. In this case, all of a sudden, Demas is not looking good. Now, 2 Timothy was the last book, was it not? Yes? So, going back, 2 Timothy was the last book and Colossians was written before 2 Timothy, presumably. And Colossians mentions him by name here in Demas. He doesn't seem to say much except that he greets you. I don't know the circumstances whether or not at this point Demas had forsaken him or he anticipated that he would, but he doesn't seem to say much except that he would greet you. Might not be worth saying anything much about this except that it's worth noting that Demas forsook him, and he made note of that in 2 Corinthians, and here in Colossians, the only thing he says is that he greets you. In fact, with Luke, he says, Luke, the beloved physician, not just physician, beloved physician. And here it says just, Demas greet you. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it has nothing to do with nothing. Maybe this is a nothing burger, as I would say. But I found that interesting. And 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Try talking to that with a lot of kingdom believers, earthly kingdom believers here, where they feel that you should need to go to a physical church. Because this church was in their house. And this is the nucleus of the family, isn't it? The house. That's where it begins. So we're going to play church. How's that? We're going to play church, and then we play church first in the house. Let's play church in the house. You can say that to the kids. We're playing church in the house. 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, some epistle that never made it to the canon. So many scholars ask, and some scholars think that that happens to do with Ephesians. Well, we don't know. And if there was such an epistle, never made it to the canon, so God didn't think that it was relevant, or that it should be relevant. Right? So why should we spend so much time on it if it never made it to the canon? And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. How much more we too, the same manner, we too, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. We have a ministry, do we not? We have a ministry. And in the same way, we should take heed, because we received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, complete it. And then he ends with, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remembering my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word, for enlightening us, and for, Father, just enlightening my heart that I may share with others. And we thank you so much for a blessed day in the wonderful name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.